morning. It is 10 after 9 as we welcome you into this edition of American DA Live on this Forensic Friday. Brought to you by Landscaper's Corner, the one-stop shop for all your landscaping needs. You'll find Landscaper's Corner in Lexington at 1305 Old Frankfort Pike. Call 225-9433. Our question of the day brought to you by United Structural Systems, a professional foundation repair and waterproofing company in business for over 20 years. iFixFoundations.com, 859-254-7700. The question of the day, a federal appeals court has upheld Kentucky's ban on same-sex marriages. Will the law survive a Supreme Court challenge? In your opinion, you tell us at WVLKAM.com. Tune in for the results with Cruiser and Crew between noon and 3. Yesterday, we asked, should Allison Lundergan Grimes run for governor? 64% of you said no, 22% said yes, 14% said yes, but not next year. Well, this is American DA Live. Commonwealth Attorney Ray Larson with us. Morning, Ray.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Fine. Thank
Good. You brought some guests with you this morning. Tell us who we have.
Well, Alex Garcia is a prosecutor in our office, and he's, I will ask Alex to tell us a little bit about himself here in a minute. We also brought our newest prosecutor to the office. Her name is Rewa Zakaria.
Good morning, Rewa.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
And we want to talk about the Lakewood Drive daytime burglary today. Alex and I tried that, I guess, a week ago.
Yes, sir.
And we want to talk about burglaries in general, and that one in particular, because the public really, that one affected people.
It did. It was highly covered in the local media, I remember.
Because there was a person, the wife was in the house, in the shower.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But
how you doing, Alex?
I'm doing great this morning.
Good. It's good to have you here.
Yeah. Quick, Alex, where are you from?
I'm from Los Angeles, California, originally. I came to UK grad, I bleed blue, and then decided to stick around and went to UK law.
You still have family out there?
I do.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
You get out there very often?
During the holidays.
It's a different world, isn't it?
It is.
I like Southern California.
It's not bad. The weather's great.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now tell me, whatever caused you to come to Kentucky?
Family.
Well,
family here.
Could you give us just a little more? I mean, I don't want to...
Don't make this interview so hard. Open up.
Well, my father was a UK grad.
Great. Yeah. Good.
And so I came out. Keep it going.
Now, how do you recruit these people like Calipari? You hear about them?
Alex, I wanted somebody that's my size.
Oh, okay.
And Alex and I...
And about the same amount of hair.
Well, but his is... His is voluntary.
Kind of intentional, isn't it?
Yeah, mine exactly. Mine goes with...
And mine, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, now that I'm in my early 50s
Right. It is starting to come out, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where did you come from, ma'am?
I'm originally from Lebanon, overseas, and I moved here in 96. My family's here. I went to Transylvania University, and then I moved to North Carolina for law school and just got back a few months ago.
And what's it like being in the Commonwealth Attorney's Office here?
It's great. The people are awesome.
You won't keep that opinion for too long. She's new, isn't she?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Talk to me in 6 months, okay? We'll see how you feel.
Well,
the same
Rewa is an interesting, just like Alex, is an interesting story about how did we get to know her.
Yeah.
And like most people that go to work in our office, she did an internship with us.
Mm-hmm.
And as did Alex. And what happens is that we become very impressed with their work ethic and their work product. And these two are no different.
Yeah.
Now, I have met and I'm very fond of Rewa's family. She has an older sister. And is your brother the oldest?
He is.
Yeah. Now,
and they're all here, huh?
No, my brother lives in Saudi Arabia right now. My sister's here.
Now, her sister is a dentist, and she married Josh Diamond.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Josh Diamond's dad runs Papa
the barbershop,
Diamond's
right.
On Romney Road. And Rewa is, is a Middle Eastern descent.
When she said Lebanon, she didn't mean Lebanon, Kentucky.
She didn't mean Marion County.
Right.
But Josh, her sister, Renna, married Josh Diamond. They're both dentists. And by the way, they're getting ready to open their own office.
Okay.
It's going to be called, what is this going to be called?
Diamond Dental.
Yeah. And the other
Send them a bill for that, you know.
You know, we should.
Yeah.
The other thing is I've also learned that Rewa's family runs a great restaurant out in Beaumont. It's called Roly Poly.
What do they have? What's their...
It's a sandwich shop. It's grilled sandwiches. They're really good.
Oh, wow. That sounds good.
Yep. So, at any rate, we are really tickled that Ree was with us.
Were you involved in the case we're discussing today?
I was not.
Okay.
She's here for us.
Was here to sort of be introduced to our listeners. That's good.
Alex, so tell us how did this case come to our office?
This came to our office, procedurally through the district court. But it was charged as a burglary in the second degree, which is unlawful entering unlawfully into an individual's dwelling. And so when I first got it, with intent to commit a crime. Mm-hmm. And when we first received it, we had some interest in it because we listened to the 911 call,
which was really scary.
It was a terrifying call. So when we received it, we realized that this was a burglary in which the victim was in the home while it was in progress. And so,
you know, Jack, burglaries have always been a crime that just is so offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Because what it is basically is some yo-yo just decides that he wants your stuff, and he's going to go in your house and take it.
Right. I've had it happen to me twice.
And so on this case got a lot of attention, I think, because there was somebody in the house. In both of your burglaries that you had to endure, you weren't home.
Weren't home, right.
Yeah, and
right.
So how did you discover there had been a burglary?
The first one occurred at night, and I came home rather late at night, and my back door was wide open, and the glass was broken out, so I knew I'd been had. The second time, the back window by the back door had been jimmied, and... I have learned through this program, because we do have very frequently folks with the police department in the burglary division, that their MO is the ones that don't want to run into you, that happen during the day usually, knock on the door, and if somebody answers the door, they've got a story. They're looking for somebody, or they work for a company, and then they just go to the next place. But if the front door isn't answered, then they go to the back door. And if the back door isn't answered, then they assume nobody's home and proceed to either kick in the back door or gain access to the home in some way or another. And that's what happened in this case, wasn't it?
Yes. So the defendant in this case is named John Corey Patton. And so one of the things that we do when we get a defendant like this is we see what kind of criminal record a person might have. And burglars typically are, this is not a first time event, you see. So tell us how you went about doing that, Alex.
Well, we look like, just like Mr. Larson just said, we looked into his criminal history, and that Mr. Patton was a frequent flyer, is what we call him in our office. And he had been convicted of burglary second in 2012, which he had received a 10-year sentence at that time, was immediately probated for 5 years.
Was that in Lexington?
That was in Lexington.
Well, yeah, who probated him?
That was Judge Goodwin. I might be mistaken.
Do you know that?
Not for a fact, no.
Okay, well then we take that back. Okay.
And so he was immediately probated. Then he violated his probation, the rules of probation, and he went back in for about a year and a half. He came back out, and 3 months later, committed another burglary in the second degree.
These people that do this, we've learned through this program, through you, Ray, are mostly professionals, and that's how they make their living. And if we keep letting them go, they keep doing it. We'll take a break. 253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T. Toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590. Or 24 minutes after 9 o'clock, 924. And talking about a local case. When did this happen, by the way, Ray? Or
this
Alex?
Happened on November 20th, 2013.
Okay.
So it's a... So, Alex, walk us through the facts of this case. This is John Corey Patton, a repeat felony offender, who is also now a twice convicted burglar. So tell us the facts.
Well, on November 20th of 2013, the victim wakes up, normal morning. She dresses her kids up for school, sends them off. She then jumps in the shower to get ready just right before her Bible study class that she had her weekly Bible study class she had that week. As she's showering, she hears the doorbell ring once, ignores it. She wasn't expecting anyone that day.
What time was it, roughly?
This was around 9 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
Then hears it a second time. It then catches her attention. She puts on a robe, steps out, hears the doorbell ring a third time. As she's walking towards her front door, she looks out the window. She has a front window and doesn't see anyone standing out there. She doesn't think much about it. She thinks it's a little unusual. But as she's walking back to the bathroom, at her back door, she sees an individual that she did not recognize and that she wasn't expecting that day.
Now, here he was wearing a blue hoodie, and the hood was up, right?
The hood was up. And he was wearing black latex gloves. And she thought it was a little weird because it was, she remembers on that day, it was sunny out. It was a little
warm. Wasn't appropriate dress. What, did he knock on the back door?
She saw him trying to, she had sliding doors, and she was watching him trying to open the sliding doors.
Oh.
And she had multiple sliding doors, so he was moving from sliding door to sliding door trying to open them.
Now, let me interrupt you a second, Alex, if I may. What you have to try to do, Jack, is have the jury be aware of the terror.
Sure.
That this here she is. She's in a robe and dripping wet out of the shower, and she sees this guy who was ringing the doorbell, and now all of a sudden is at the back trying to get in, and she just was terrified. So what did she do, Alex?
She immediately grabs her phone, calls 911, runs to the nearest bedroom, which was her daughter's bedroom, and hides under the bed. And so she's on 911. She's on the phone with 911 while she's hiding under the bed. And at that point, she knows her home well, obviously, and so she could hear noises throughout her house, and she knew no one was in there.
So she knew he was in.
She knew he was in.
While she was on the phone.
While she was on the phone. At some point, she could hear him in the basement. She has wooden floors throughout her home. She then hears him up on the floor that she's at. She hears his footsteps running through her home. At some point, she sees his feet come into the bedroom where she's hiding in.
Did you ever see the movie Taken?
No.
It was, you're the only one in America that hasn't.
Yeah.
But it's a story of a young woman who was kidnapped. When I think about this, I think about her under the bed, just terrified. And this guy, she said in the trial that this guy's feet in her daughter's bedroom were just inches from her, and she knew this character was going to just bend over and see her.
But he didn't, right?
He didn't.
Now, she testified that she was on the phone and could see his feet, and she could hear him standing right in front of her daughter's closet and just going through all her stuff. She's
you know what offends? Because what happens? These guys go through dresser drawers,
sure,
and they're looking for jewelry and that kind of stuff. But these, it's revolting to young women, to women, not just young women, but to women in general, to think that this somebody has been pawing through their underwear drawer.
It's revolting to me.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. And that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
And so she was the whole time, but there were pauses, weren't there, Alex, where she said nothing, when he was right there?
There were pauses because she was so terrified and scared that he would hear her, and who knows what he would have done. So at this point, 911 lets the police department know that there's a burglary in progress. The police get there.
They come without sirens and lights?
They arrived with sirens and lights. But once they arrived, they knew it was in progress. Once they arrived, they surround the home. And so they're having communications with our victim who's inside the home. So there's the victim's talking to the dispatcher, and the dispatcher's immediately telling the police what's going on inside the home. So the house is surrounded by the police. They have a plan of action to go inside the home since they know that there's a victim in there. But at that point, they see the, since they showed up in lights and the victim realized that the police were out there. He was looking through the windows. At that point, the police, as soon as they made the decision to go inside the home, to bust on in, the defendant, Mr. John Corey Patton, jumps out through the front window. And decides to...
Like a movie. Breaks
through the window and decides to take off.
All right, hold that thought. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. 253-5959. Touch star 590 from AT&T. Toll free from anywhere. 1-877-777-0590. Or email jackpatty at wvlkam.com. 9:36, 24 before 10, News Talk 590 WVLK. Let's define terms here, Ray. I hear people real often saying, I got my house robbed.
Right.
And what is robbery?
Well, let's start at the bottom.
Okay.
If I came up to you and picked your pocket and took your wallet, that's called a theft.
The least of the bunch.
Yeah. And if you put your wallet on your nightstand and I came into your house without permission at night and took your wallet, there's still a theft, right? But there's another element to it, and that's a breaking and entering. So that
makes two different charges? Yeah.
It's all part of the same one.
Okay.
But the penalties are greater.
Okay.
Then... And that's burglary. Now, if you are on the street and you have your wallet in your pocket and I walk up to you and put a gun in your face and say, give me your wallet, and you hand me your wallet, still a theft, right? But there's another element, and that's force. That becomes robbery.
What if you don't have a gun but you imply you have a gun?
Well, that can be robbery too. And that happens some in these bank robberies because they don't see a gun.
Right.
But it's called an implied gun. And they can be charged with robbery. And juries like to know that there's a gun there and like somebody see a gun because they have to make a decision about this thing. But they're separate crimes. Now, there's also separate types of burglary. Burglary second degree is what we're talking about because, as Alex said, this guy broke into a residence or a dwelling where people live, and that's a burglary second. Alex, what if somebody breaks into one of those sheds in the backyard? What is that called?
It's a burglary in the third degree.
Oh. And why is that?
It's considered a building. It's considered separate than the dwelling itself.
Yeah. And it's like a business sometimes, Jack. A business can be considered burglary third degree, you see, because it's not a dwelling, not a residence. Now, those, we got burglary third and burglary second. What about burglary first degree? Tell us what that means.
Burglary first has the same elements as the burglary second or the burglary third of entering into unlawfully into a residence or a building, but you add the elements of either a physical injury or having either entering or leaving with a deadly weapon.
So a gun.
A gun.
And so that's that becomes burglary first. Now, the penalties are higher for burglary first than burglary second. They're higher for burglary second than burglary third.
He got in and out of the house with a woman inside the house mm-hmm. that he was unaware was there. What if he had been aware that she was there? Didn't hurt her. Would that have changed the...
Still burglary second.
Second. Okay.
Yeah. If he had a gun when he came in, that's burglary first.
He didn't.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
He was unarmed.
That we know of.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't think so because the police caught him 2 yards down.
So he jumped through the front window.
Jumps through the front window, tries to flee. As I said earlier, the police had the home surrounded, so he didn't get far. Jumped a couple fences, but once he was caught, they did a search of his person. On his person, he had multiple items that belonged to the victim, multiple jewelry items, as well as the black latex gloves.
So what happens is they take these items back and talk to the victim and ask
are these yours?
They ask her to identify them, and she could, couldn't she, Alex?
She was able to identify each piece of jewelry that he took.
So what we do, we try to give those items back, and so what the police do in many of these instances is take photographs of the items and then give the items back to the owner.
Because they're evidence, obviously.
It's evidence, yeah. Right. And it's and look, we're not in the business of keeping everybody's property forever. And so that's what they did in this case. And a keyboard.
Where are they in Lexington physically? Do you know?
I think they're at the police department still.
Are they? Mm-hmm. I always wondered. I thought, you know, they could be in another city for that matter.
But the call taker is not the dispatcher.
Oh, really?
Yeah. See, the call taker's job is to talk to the person that's got the emergency.
Uh-huh.
And that's what 911 is for, emergencies.
Right.
It's not to complain that you didn't get French fries.
Right. There was a guy in the news last night that called to see if the phone taker would go out with him.
Well, that
was on the news.
It
was on the news.
Emergency for the call taker.
Right.
Yeah,
but it was on the news last night.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So, at any rate, so the call taker's job is to get information from the caller, and at the same time they're getting information, they're typing it in the computer that appears on the screen of the dispatcher
at the police department also. Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the big complaints always of people who call 911 is, look, I'm happy to talk to you, but aren't you going to send somebody? You know, you haven't sent anybody yet, and why don't you put me on hold and send somebody out here?
Sure.
And what they don't understand is all that's taking place. You see that they're being dispatched by the dispatcher who's getting the information from the call taker. And that's what happened here. It took them, what did it take, 4 or 5 minutes for the police to get there?
It was pretty quick.
How are these call takers trained?
I don't know.
I'd love to know.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's get Robert Stack, who was a retired police commander, assistant chief, matter of fact, and he very impressive guy, and let's get him on here to talk.
I'd like to know, because okay, obviously there's a lot of training. You have people mm-hmm. calling you, they're getting ready to kill themselves, and mm-hmm. people that have people inside their houses, like in this case, and the average Joe wouldn't know how to handle that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get him on.
That'd be great.
Okay, so let's hear about going to trial.
We went to trial. It took us a day. We ran through multiple officers as witnesses. The victim, who terrified, she was very brave and was a great witness. She just did an awesome job.
Now, let me make an observation, because she did. She was very brave, and she had gotten herself in a position that, you know, witnesses don't want to cry, and they want to be
strong,
yeah, right. And that sort of thing. And she was. She got herself set up to do this, and she did it. And sometimes you wonder if jurors who are watching all this think, well, she wasn't so scared.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's an issue, because she did a hell of a job.
Okay, we're going to take a break, our last break. And Jim, hang on. You'll be our first caller when we come out of the break. 253-5959. 10 minutes away from 10 o'clock. News Talk 590 WVLK. And Jim, thanks for being patient. You're on the air.
Yes. From what I've heard, the burglar has to, if the charge is different if they have a weapon or don't have a weapon when they enter your house, right?
Right.
Well, why is that? Because the there's 100 things in a home you can kill somebody with, and one of them, your hands, you could kill somebody. And if they have a record and don't want to go back to jail, that would give them a reason to kill you to keep from going to jail. Going back to jail.
Well,
I know it's I don't know. I guess I just think they're taking it too lightly about, you know, doing bodily harm to you, that they could still kill you whether they bring a weapon or not.
Well, look, you're preaching to the choir here now.
Uh-huh.
Because these laws have been passed by our legislature, and I think anytime you burglarize a home that has somebody in it, then I think it ought to be a burglary in the first degree, personally. But
I appreciate your call, Jim. Thank you very much. Here's an email that says, "How much better would it have been for this woman if she had been armed and trained in the use of a firearm and not scared and helpless under a bed? And does anyone know if this woman has since decided to arm herself?" That's a really good question.
Well, we didn't ask her that, Alex, and but I'll tell you, we will ask her that.
Yeah, I'd like to know.
And
I know you guys don't promote.
We don't promote.
Right, because more often than not, somebody's going to get hurt. Right?
Right. That we have a woman in our office, named Lorena Goyani, and she is from Kosovo, and she and her family had to leave the country during the Croatian-Serbian conflict, and they left their home when there were 31 dead bodies left in the street in front of their house. And Lorena is one of the sweetest young women we've ever been around, but I feel very confident that in this situation she would have killed that guy.
Yeah,
I mean, sweet little Blarina would have nailed him,
and would have been within her rights,
sure,
to do so.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Right. The law provides that for in protection of property. If somebody's burglarizing your home, you can use deadly physical force.
This is Michael. Hey, Michael.
Hey guys, about 6 years ago, I had a real scary situation at my house. I had a guy that was basically banging my door down with his body on Thanksgiving Eve, and I loaded my 12 gauge and pointed at the door and screamed at him. If he broke through, I was going to shoot. I had my wife and children and other family there. It was on Thanksgiving Eve, and I was, you know, scared and juiced up at the same time, but
sure.
It turns out the guy was so drunk he had forgotten which house he was staying at over the holiday.
So he thought he was at the house. Michael, you're breaking up. You're breaking up, Michael. We had a case here in Lexington a year or two ago. Remember the guy that shot through the door?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
The same kind of situation.
Yeah.
He looked through the little peephole, and he saw this guy. He went and got his gun, and if I recall, it was a .45, which is a big
heavy
big
duty
handgun.
Yeah.
And did the same thing, and the guy, he looked through the peephole again, and the guy was rearing back to kick the door in. He shot right through the door, got him right in the middle of the chest, and killed him. Now, And guess what? Under the law, he was allowed to do that. Now, we present those cases
right.
to the grand jury and let the grand jury review them.
I always heard if you shot some guy that's coming in your window, pull him in before the police get there.
Well, okay. Yeah.
All right, how'd this thing end?
All right, week? Alex.
Well, the jury, it took about, after the trial, it took about 4 minutes for the jury to come back with the burglary and the second degree conviction. When they came back with that conviction, we had a penalty phase, which we put the victim up, and she testified again about how she felt on the day in question, how terrified she was, and how it's affected her life since.
How has it affected her life since?
And she can't live comfortably in her own home.
I wasn't home when it happened to me the two times, but I get that real loud and clear.
You know, there's 7,000 burglaries that occur in Lexington in most years, and so people understand what she's going through. This guy took the stand in the penalty phase, and of course he said, "I'm on dope."
And, that was his reason.
Well, yeah. He says, "I'm addicted to drugs and alcohol, and I've had a lousy childhood." And he got 10 years, and he was sent immediately to prison. And he has to serve every day because he's a
persistent felony. Right. Thank you guys very much. Stand by. We have an update from ABC Next. If you're listening to WVLK AM, stay with us for Live with Lee.